I love him. I love him because he first loved me. Yes, Lord. And purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. We love you, Lord. Amen. We love you, Jesus. It's the reason we came here this morning, Lord, because we love you, Lord. Blessed be your name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated for just a minute. Amen. Thank you for having me here. I appreciate your pastor. I appreciate this church. I feel like we're your sister church there in New York City, and you're ours. That's how I feel. All the times that we've come here, they've been a blessing to us. And your pastor's a man of God. So we send you greetings from the church at New York City on behalf of our pastor, Brother Yvonne, and the church at New York City. I see that we have Brother Kenny here with us. So he's from our church there. And it's good to see familiar faces and new faces. I appreciate that you are standing for the Word of God. You know, you could have stayed home sleeping this morning. I'm sure there was a lot of reasons to just, hey, you know, I worked hard and this is a holiday weekend and one day won't be, it's just one day. You know, you could stay in bed, you can, but something pulled you to church. Amen. Something pulled you to hear the Word of God. And if one word that is said can bring you closer to being rapture ready, then it's all worth it. Thank you, musicians. So I feel very humble being here, that your pastor have confidence, and I know he couldn't be here, but that he would allow us to stand behind this sacred desk, and knowing that you're going to be addressing the people of God purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ makes us tremble a little bit, I have to admit. And it doesn't matter if it's 2 or 2,000 people. We've learned that one soul is worth much more than we can count. 10,000, 100,000, many, many, much more than we can ever pay. So his precious blood purchased the people that are going to be spoken to today. So our desire is that the Holy Spirit come down and take control. Amen. Speak to every heart. And that's what we want, is for the Lord to move. If we could stand to our feet. And let's open our Bibles to the book of Exodus. Amen. Exodus 17. And let's start at verse 8. Amen. And the Word of God says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, and the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And verse 15 says, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, if we just read your word, close the Bible, and close this service, Lord, we are the better for it than when we came in. But Lord, within your plan, you've chosen for men to preach, for men to speak of you, to speak of your glory, so that men shall be saved, so that men will be encouraged to continue on in this battle. Father, we ask you to manifest yourself this morning in a special and sweet way, Lord. We know how much you love us, Father. You don't have to keep proving that every day, Lord. Salvation alone is good enough, Lord. Lord, we're not focusing on what we don't have and what we're lacking and how much pain we have or all those negative things that this flesh wants us to focus on, Lord. We'll start with salvation, Lord. We'll focus on that. And we're so thankful and grateful, Lord, and appreciate that you first loved us, Lord. And that's enough, Lord. But we know you're also a healer. We know that you're a good father giving good things to your children, Lord. So we'll keep asking you for all those things that you promised to give us anyways, Lord. Because it's within your hand and your desire to give it to us, Lord. Bless every person here, Lord. Every child, Lord. Everyone that's discouraged. Anyone that's seeking you, Lord. Even those that have been brought here, Lord, by that feel that they just barely drag themselves here, Lord. You can do something special, Lord. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. If we could go to another verse real quick, Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59 and verse 19. And it says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, I didn't always want to be around God's people. It wasn't my first choice. I, like many children, I was dragged to go to church, forced to go to Sunday school. I went to a Christian private school until I was in fifth grade. And then my mother couldn't keep paying the tuition that kept going up every year. And so she decided either my kids eat or they learn how to read. Well, I'm not a very good speller, but I ate pretty good. So I had this kind of rejection towards having to go to church, and I would cut church and go to the park, do things that kids shouldn't do. And never did I think that one day I would be coming to church on my own accord and wanting to be in a place where I thought it was for, you know, people that were, you know, in need of something or antiquated. But then something happened and God touched me and he touched my life. And then I realized why people come to church. Then I realized why I needed God and why I needed to be closer to him and be near God's people. And I realized it wasn't church. That was my place of refuge. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. That was my place of refuge. But like I said, I wasn't always that way. I, like many people, went out into the world and had friends that I shouldn't have had. And one day I remembered the Lord brought me back to my senses, I'll say. Like the prodigal son who was about to eat the pig food, I came back to my senses and realized, what am I doing? In my father's house, even the servants, they eat better than this. Why am I living this way under the privileges that God has given me? All the benefits and all the medical attention, the economic attention, the everything that God has for us, I was putting to one side just to hang out and live for today. But one day, God spoke and said, what are you doing? And I said, what am I doing? And I decided I was going to go back to the things of God. Because I remembered I was a young man hearing, it was in the Baptist church, and you know, you accepted Christ into your heart, and you know, you read the Bible every day. There were scriptural foundations that they placed in my heart, and that were there. But they had been dormant for many years. And they were something I wanted to turn off. And I was able to successfully turn it off. I didn't want to hear things of God. I didn't want to see. If I saw you in the street and you want to come up to me and say, God bless you, I'd cross the other. Like, I don't want to even think of it. They're going to invite me to church. I don't want to go to church. So, one day I woke up. And I came back to my father. And I remember telling my friends, I'm no longer going to hang out. I'm no longer going to be playing softball with you guys on Sundays. I'm no longer going to drink and do things that do not please God. And of course, they looked at me in a strange way, kind of like, what are you talking about? We're not doing anything wrong. I mean, they didn't think they were doing anything wrong, but I knew I was. So there was conviction there. Amen. And I told them, you know, you don't understand this, and I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but, you know, the things that we do, that does not please God. And I explained to them, you know, I once used to go to church. I was once a Christian. And they were shocked. You, a Christian, you're the worst one of us. You going to church? Can you believe this? Come on, seriously? And I said, yeah, I used to go to church and I used to be in the presence of God. What does that mean? And I said, you know, I can't really explain it to you. I just know that I kept quiet and never said anything because I felt that if I said something to you about my past as a Christian, it would be a hindrance to you. You wouldn't understand and you would just mock my belief in God. You would say, if you're a Christian, anybody could be. Well, months passed and I tried. I tried serving the Lord. But I was, I fell in love, not with Christ. I fell in love with the mysteries and with the idea that there was a prophet that came in this age. And I fell in love with this vibe and this electricity of how there's this, the serpent seed and how there's the Daniel 70th weeks. And did you know this? And I was like, wow. But you know, that's good. But it won't keep you. Just knowing things won't keep you. I knew enough to be able to argue with some of the Baptist people that I came out of from that church. And I would be able to sit down with them and tell them, well, what do you say about this? And what do you? But that's not what keeps you. And I was a young man and I didn't last. I went back to the things of the world. And those friends that for a few months were wondering what's going on with me. This, you know, Giovanni. Now they started calling me Reverend. You know, and after a few months, I was back with them again, hanging out, doing the things of the world. And I remember one time standing in a circle with them in a park, and they're all, you know, drinking their beer and smoking their cigarettes and listening to their music, and I was there. Kind of on the sidelines there and just knowing that I shouldn't be here, but still fighting that. And the topic of God came up. And it's like, hey, you know, one guy says, there's got to be a higher being, you know, we can't be the only ones in this. There's got to be aliens and just nonsense, right? But somebody said, hey, Gio, Rev, why don't you tell us? You're the expert. You were, you know, up in the mountain with Moses and everything. Tell us. And I remember having a beer in my hand, and I'm just being sincere here and honest. And I remember thinking, what a reproach. What a shame upon the God of all creation, upon the one that saved me. And I just felt such a conviction and such shame that now the spotlight is on me to talk about religion and God and what He means to me. And I wouldn't dare open my mouth because I felt that I was not a good ambassador, not a good representative. I dropped the banner. I dropped the standard. I dropped the ball. And I remember going home and the next day trying to shrug off that feeling. And, you know, months go by, even years can go by. But you can't get away from God if you are called, if you're His seed. Amen. You might leave Him, but He'll never leave you. Amen. He'll be there waiting for you. He'll be at every corner that you turn. He won't leave you alone.
Amen.
And in all my efforts, I was not able to shake Him off. Until one day, again. And you know, God, if He calls you once, He doesn't have to call you twice.
Amen.
But God is so good. And He's so rich in mercy, and He loves us so much. And He promised all that the Father has given, not one will be lost. And I'm one of those that cannot be lost. And you're one of those. So I heard that voice again. And I came back to the things of God. But this time it was different. And when I realized, just like the prodigal son, that I had brought shame upon my father, and I had wasted his riches, the time, the precious time that he'd given me in this earth to represent him, to be an ambassador, a real, true Christian, someone that people can say, look and say, whether they like you or not, they can say he's different. He's not like these people that are, there's something about him, there's something about her. It's not just her dress, it's not just her long hair. There's a glow in her, there's a love in her, there's an aura around that person. I can't put my finger on it, but I think it's holy. I'm not going to touch it, I'm going to leave it be. And I think that that happens to us many times and we don't realize it, whether you're in the bus or at work or at school and you're just doing your daily chores and someone is looking and some are hoping you fall. Most are hoping you fall so they don't feel the conviction that comes upon them by looking at that standard, that banner, that emblem that you represent. That's what I want to talk about this morning is we are standard bearers. We are flag bearers. And when I was in the world serving the devil, knowing I should be serving God with all my heart, I dropped the banner. As a soldier, one of the greatest and one of the biggest shameful things was to drop the flag or to run from the battle when you are the flag bearer. The flag bearer could not be just anybody. The flag bearer could not be a coward. The flag bearer was handpicked, perhaps by the general, the captain, the person in charge, because if the flag bearer was a coward or somebody that wasn't sure about the cause, somebody that did not believe in the general, or someone that did not have the faith, someone didn't have the confidence in their training, when the danger comes, when the trial comes, they'll drop the banner and run. And throughout history, during wars, I always wondered when I saw a movie, why did they have a guy carrying a flag, no sword, or whether it was later in history, no gun, just a sword, just the banner with the emblem of the army or the nation. And I would say to myself, what a waste of a soldier. He has no weapon. He's just carrying a silly flag. He's going to get shot. It's almost like he's saying, look at me, shoot me. And I thought, well, that doesn't make sense. But in reading the scripture, in knowing a little bit about history, I come to find out that that's the most valiant and brave of all the positions. Everyone else is got a weapon to take care of themselves. But the flag bearer just has a flag sticking out as high as can be. And he's walking towards the battle against the enemy. And the Bible said that God will raise up, he will lift up a banner. And we just read where Moses raised the staff of God. And while he was standing up on the hill, and he had the staff in his hand, and they could see the staff, and they could see that Moses was standing at his post of duty, and that they saw that banner, that standard, they won the battle. They were gaining ground. They weren't losing, but when he lowered his hands, maybe he took a little respite. Maybe he needed to just take a little break. And sometimes we feel that way. I need to take a little break. You know, I double shift yesterday, and Brother John wants to have service a little earlier today. You know, Brother Giovanni, who's he? And Brother John's not here. He won't even know that I'm not here. Little respite. But no, something pulled you, and you got here. And you know what? I'm looking at that banner. I'm saying, God bless you, brother. That's an encouragement to me. You're an encouragement to me. I see you raising the banner and you're still here. Years go by. I ask, how's this brother? And how's that brother? How's Brother John? There's discouragements. There's moments where you wonder, like, what's going on? But here we are with the banner still raised up. But don't be discouraged, because the higher you lift it, the more that your brethren, your brothers, your other soldiers that are next to you will pick up their arms and start fighting with courage. Let me give you the definition of a standard bearer. It's a person or it's a soldier who bears an emblem called an ensign or a standard, either a type of flag or an inflexible but mobile image, which is used and often honored as a formal visual symbol of a state, a prince, a military unit, etc. The standard bearer should never surrender his banner. If he during battle could no longer safeguard the banner, he should wrap his body in the banner awaiting the final slash. Being a flag bearer was considered one of the marks of great distinction for a required soldier of extraordinary bravery. The job was to carry the flag where the regiment officers directed. While unarmed, under fire, most importantly, the standard bearers had to face the enemy, never break and run in retreat, or the entire regiment would follow. The opposite of that, I would say, is a deserter. And right now, we're going through a time, I would say, within the community of this message, where there's like a mass exodus of people doubting their training, people doubting their general, people doubting the cause of Christ, the cause. You know, I look in the scripture and I don't see anybody else that fulfills the prophet for this age. I would not have been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ if God hadn't sent Brother Branham. And that's the scriptural baptism. And just like many other things in the scripture that I would be oblivious to. I would be under the system of the great whore of Revelations if it wasn't for God and his mercy and his grace. Now, I can't explain a lot of things. But God didn't ask me to explain things. He asked me to believe. The soldier does not go and say, well, okay, general, you gotta lay this plan out for me again. So here's the big picture, and he has to tell me that the one troop is going to go this way, the other one's going to go that way. No, you go and you say, what's my job, sir? Your job? Want to know what your job? Your job is very important. It's super important. Your job is to clean the bathrooms and make sure that the doors are open. It may not seem important, But if one of our members, if one of our soldiers drops his responsibility, it affects the whole church. It seems small. But if the bathroom's not working, nobody wants to come to church. If the bathroom's filthy, if the toilet is stopped up, who's going to want to come to church? A visitor will come, it'll affect the service. That's just one small example. That's just the smallest of examples. But the soldier, we often want the recognizable job. I want the job that everyone's going to say, good job. I just want to be in the army of the Lord, amen, representing Him as best as I can in whatever capacity, whatever position He places me in. I looked in the Bible and I said that, you know, Samson and my experience have a lot in common, not in the strength of Samson, but in that he too dropped the flag. He too was a standard bearer. He too was walking with the flag, but then lost sight of the cause of Christ. He lost sight of what was important. He lost sight of God's plan for his life. And that had happened to me. But by the grace of God, God brought me back to be able to take up his cause again, take up the cross, lift up that banner again, and say, Lord, here I am. Do with me what you will, and let me just walk with you. Let me just be, give me another chance. Brother Branham said in that message, once more, that Samson there, after they had plucked his eyes, after they ridiculed him, they made fun of him. Oh, that hurt. I'm sure that hurt Samson. Just like it hurt me when my friends were making fun of me. But what really hurt Samson, when he finally lost his eyes, is when he began to have spiritual vision. And he was able to see in his blindness, he was able to see, Lord, I failed you. You raised me up to destroy the enemy. And my desire, my will, my anger, my way has just put a stop to that. Oh God, if you can give me one more opportunity, just one more chance, to fulfill the mission that you gave me, that the purpose for you sending me, it will suffice, Lord. And I realized the same thing, that I was blind. And when he opened my eyes, I saw I wasn't just bringing a reproach on me. I wasn't just bringing ridicule. The Bible says that the Philistines rejoiced and had a feast and a great banquet and had like a Colosseum type of a place. And the main event, Brother Branham said, was that they brought this great warrior, this great man, the one that brought fear to all of the Philistines, the one that killed 1,000 with the jawbone of a mule. And he, of a donkey or mule, regardless, he was there and people were saying, is this the one that troubled the Philistines? Is this the one that brought all this fear on us? And he was the main event, and they made sport of him. They toyed with him. They laughed, and they honored, the Bible says, they praised Dagon, their god, because he delivered Samson into their hands. And all that hurt, all that was very troubling for Samson. But it was when his eyes were taken out that he was there alone in that prison, just going around in circles, grinding, that he had time to think about what he had done and how it brought a shame to the Lord, and how now the nations think they are greater than the God of all creation, the God of Israel, the giver of life. How they're praising their God more now because of your disobedience, my disobedience. And And I think this morning what God wants to do, because I know we're all Christians and we love the Lord, but God just wants us to recalibrate. He wants us to just set the sights again of your rifle, of the gospel, back in its right place, to kind of reboot, to kind of go back and remember how it was when we first started, when you first started walking with the things of God. I remember I was so simple, brother. I thought of things in such a simple way. Through the years, they've gotten complicated. You hear things that get you down, but you got to get up again by your bootstraps. I was telling the church last week how in all the simplicity, you know how the message that God hides himself in simplicity? I remember when I came back to the things of God, I didn't know much, but I remember I was so in love and so happy. And everything that I did, I considered how it would affect others. I would consider how even my body language would affect someone. If I go to this place, what will someone think? If I don't go to this fellowship, what will someone think? Can I encourage someone? Can I discourage someone? And I wanted to just walk so tenderly and so close to Jesus that I had read a message where Brother Branham said briefly, and the bride will be clothed with the Word of God. I said, clothed with the Word of God. And that stayed in my heart. And where I was working downtown, it was an art gallery. And every once in a while, we had to pick up books at a printing shop and bring those books back to the warehouse where they were going to be shipped out. When I got to the printing shop, I remember that they were packing the books that I was supposed to be picking up. And when I looked closely at the packing material, there were pages of the Bible. The packing material, they were just stuffing it in there. It turns out that some of the Bibles that they were printing, some of the pages did not come out just right, so they had to use it as packing material. That's how they felt. And I thought, look at that. I would have never noticed that. I would have never considered that these are Bible pages, but everything, my brother, my sister, everything was speaking to me. God was speaking to me in everything. I looked at something and it represented something God was trying to tell me. I hear something and it was either God warning me about something or telling me something. I woke up in the morning and the birds were speaking. I mean, do you remember? Have you forgotten? Well, I think God wants us to recalibrate and get back to that love. Get back to walking so tenderly with Him. So I remember going into a part of the company that was my area, I called it. And I was alone. And in just my simple childlike faith, I grabbed pages of the Bible that were stuffed into those boxes. And I just was in a little corner, and I just put a page on my shoulder and put another one on my other shoulder. And I grabbed another page and I put it over my head, and I said, Lord, I just want to be clothed with your word. I just want to be wrapped in you, Lord, like a blanket of your word, Lord, like the prophet said. And I know it sounds childish, but I believe God honored that to some degree because he saw that the sincerity of it. He wasn't just saying, oh, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Sure, it's not. But God honored it anyways. And he saw the desire of my heart. And so today I can stand here and tell you that by the grace of God, I'm a flag bearer. You are a flag bearer. You're a soldier in the army of God. And God wants us to recalibrate our weapons. He wants us to put our sights back on the cross of Calvary, where it all began for us. That love. I asked myself, why did David, as a young boy, Why did he risk his life for one lamb, one sheep, out of perhaps hundreds that his father had? Logically, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't. It's just one lamb. His father would not have told him, "Son, why didn't you go after the lion? Why didn't you go after that bear and get my sheep?" No. Now we know that the Bible says the good shepherd leaves the 99 and goes after the one. But I think it was more than just that. I think it was more than just a lamb. I think when David was taking care of the lamb and the sheep, he would walk by them and look at this one and look at that one, and he would see a candidate amongst them as one that would be offered unto Jehovah God for perhaps the sins that his father's house had committed, to cover them. And perhaps that's what he was thinking when he went after the lion and when he went after the bear. No, I can't let this lion take. I don't know if he took the one that we were going to offer unto the Lord. It's the Lord's lamb. It's the lamb of the Lord, the one that's going to represent the covering of our sins. No, I cannot let this happen. What if that's the one that the bear took? What if that's the one that the lion took? And he went after that bear, that lion, and he took that sheep from him.
Amen.
Our brother David was a flag bearer. The Bible says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over thee."
Amen.
The sign was upon the door, and the angel of death passed by.
Amen.
And David, as well, he wanted to apply the sign over his house. He wanted more than anything for the ability to repent and to come before the Almighty God with a clear conscience and a clear heart and just be in his presence. And that's something precious that we should never lose, brothers. What I noticed in Exodus 17 is that Moses didn't just raise his hands by himself, but he needed help. Where are the Hurs and the Aarons of today?
Amen.
That will help the ministry raise up the standard and raise the banner so that the people may see there's somebody living the life. Somebody is fighting to keep the banner standing, that symbol that represents victory. And it's an encouragement that is necessary in the congregation of God's people. You know that a coward can stimulate fear and begets, a coward can inspire people to run and to lose the victory. When you or I, when we leave our place, we're deserting our brother and leaving him in the front lines. And now he's has to work twice as hard to hold down that position. We must consider who we are. Brother Branham said, when we realize who we are, when the bride of Christ realizes who she is, you know what I'm going to say. She'll be an invincible army.
Amen.
She's unstoppable. She cannot lose. But she is who she is, but she needs to realize who she is. She needs to open her eyes and say, "I am the bride."
Amen.
Amen.
And he is with me, the great general. And he won't ask me to do something that he won't do himself.
Hallelujah.
He's shown me, not by telling me, but by example. He went to the cross and died for my sins.
Amen.
He bore my sins and my iniquities and all my sicknesses, all my complexes, and he brought them to the cross. And he went down and took the keys from the devil. And he conquered hell and the grave.
Amen.
He showed me how it's done. All I have to do is believe. Oh, brother, but how do you believe? One time, Brother Branham was having a prayer line, and he told one lady, he said, "Now you see, you're doubting, you're not believing. It's just like this shirt here, sister. What color is this shirt? It's white. Just believe, just like that." That sounds so simple, it's unbelievable, right? But it's just that simple.
Amen.
This morning I heard at the end of a service where he said, "Brother, what you have, you're from so and so. What you have is an ulcer, and you have lung problems. And do you believe? Will you accept the Lord Jesus Christ now as your personal Savior, and go on and sin no more? And you can get rid of those cigarettes that are in your right pocket." And the man took out the pack of cigarettes and threw them on the ground. How do I know he did that? Because everyone was clapping. Everybody's like, "Praise the Lord." How did he even know that there were cigarettes there? But the point is that it's that simple. It's not difficult. It's not hard. It's not far from you. It's right here within our grasp. We come to church, brother and sister. I wanted to bring a message that would be, you know, so nice and tell you how wonderful. But I come to church every Sunday. I say, "Lord, I want to know where I'm wrong. I want to know where I'm failing. I want to know how I can do better." I used to sell real estate many years ago. And I remember they got to the point where the buyer and the seller, they go into contract. And then the buyer needs to have an inspection. And I bought a house, and maybe some of you have bought houses, and you want to get an inspection done on the house, but you don't want the inspector to go in there and tell you, "Oh, these windows are really nice. Oh, look at that. And look at this. And look." Yeah. I want to know what's wrong with the house. Tell me what's going on with the foundation. Tell me what's going on with the roof, with the pipes, with the electricity. I don't want you to tell me all the good stuff about it. I want to know if I can live in this house. And if we want God to live in our house, we need to start thinking of what is it that I can do to make this more habitable for the Spirit of the living God. He deserves us coming to church. He deserves us clapping and praising and worshiping. Break out of our normal routine. I never thought that I would stand in behind this pulpit. I never thought that I would want to be in a place where there are people getting dressed up. I never thought I'd wear a tie. But we have to break out of our normal routine and do the opposite of what we want to do if it's something that'll please God. We are soldiers of the cross. Your pastor's a soldier. Your pastor's raising the banner. And he needs some of us to lift his hand up and keep the rod of God visible for the rest of the congregation. "Peter, do you love me?" Strengthen the brethren. Love my sheep. Keep them. Do something. I'm talking more to myself than I am to you, brothers. Before I could open my mouth, I had to do an inventory. If God says something today that will help you, then praise the Lord. I don't need to know about it. I'll probably leave here thinking, "What did I just do? That was horrible. How could I just even, you know?" But God, many times he doesn't allow us and doesn't want us to see the good that was done. And I'm glad for that. Because if God tells me, "I want you to walk this way," like he does to many of us, I know it. Because I'm not the only one God is speaking to and saying, "Get up, I want to get up, come on. I know it's 5 o'clock in the morning, but get up, I want to talk to you." I'm not the only one. Giovanni, come on. You say that we're friends. Come on, you haven't spoken to me. I just, 5 more minutes. And then run out of the house. Oh my goodness. My keys, where's my keys? My keys. God, you know my heart. Oh yeah. That one I've used so many. God, you know my heart. That's my prayer. That's been my prayer so many times. He deserves more. Giovanni, get up. I want to talk to you. I know you have things in your heart. You need to tell me. I can help you with today. But I got so much to do. I got to send these emails. I got to send the invoice. I got to send some estimates. And then the taxes are due. I can help you with that. Come on. Remember the last time that you prayed? And you sought me and you had a ton of things to do. And I just was able to. I'm not the only one that God is talking to. And God, he tells us, make a right. And if we're obedient, we'll make a right. Now make a left. Now walk. Now stop. Go back. Two steps. Bend down. Pick that up. Okay. Take that. Throw it over the bridge. Okay. But we want to do this. Let's see where it went. No. I don't need to see where it went. You don't need to see what's going on, how it's working out. It's his masterpiece. He's the one painting the picture. You're just part of it.
Amen.
But we want to stand next to him and say, wow, look at what we did. We're good. No. Let's be soldiers. We have a job. We have a position. But I'm just a housewife, or I'm just a schoolgirl, or I'm just... No. You'd be surprised. It's that housewife. It's that person that's the prayer warrior that's keeping all the glue together in this place. I couldn't be here if it wasn't for my wife who prays for me every time. You know, God has medals of honor, the crown of life, the Holy Spirit. It's a medal of honor. Now, in the natural, there's a medal of honor. It's the highest award you can get in the military. It's a display of, it's for those that have shown bravery beyond the call of duty. People that have placed their lives in the front line. People that have given more than was even asked or required or even imagined of them. Acts of selflessness. Things that they've done that was just almost supernatural. To be able to do those things, you must have a clear vision of who your general is and what is the cause, and believe in the training of faith that you've been given to receive a medal of honor. A medal of honor is one of those honors that even a higher ranking officer, whether it be a president or whoever, when you walk into the room and it's recognized that you have a medal of honor, it's one of the few times that a higher ranking officer will stand up and salute you in respect.
That's right.
And we know it's not us that will get the respect, but him in us that would get that salute. But there were those that tried to make false or imitations of a Medal of Honor. And there's a law, if I can find it. The penalty for making, for distributing or creating a Medal of Honor is up to, it's $100,000 and up to a year in jail. And there are many people that are walking around with false Medals of Honor. And God has a penalty for that as well. It's called death. Because these people think that they have the Holy Ghost when they don't have it. And they're saying that they do. And if they continue to say they got the medal, when they don't, they may die in that condition. A deserter abandons the cause. David knew the cause, and it was worth to him more than his own life. Moses knew the cause. And he did everything he could. You and I, we must believe the cause of Christ. Don't, if I may say this, don't ever be jealous of someone that's got more than you, especially if they're not a Christian. I used to, when I was a child, I would say, somebody asked, what if the world was going to end today? When I was a child, I'd say, well, I would go rob a bank, or I would go get a Lamborghini, and, you know, the world is going to end tomorrow, and that's what I was thinking of. How to live a little bit more in this world, when that's not real life. Wanting the things that I don't have, and that I have all these notes, and I haven't gotten to any of them. And my watch just broke. Sorry for you guys. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto thee, unto me. And how will we overcome? How will we overcome? In Revelations it says that we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the testimony. By their testimony, it says, and they love God more than their lives. The blood is the sign, always will be the sign, and that will never change. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy, I can't close without reading this scripture. 2 Timothy 2:4. Thank you, Lord. No, just being able to say the name of Jesus is a privilege. That you're able to read your Bible is an honor, should be an honor and a privilege to you. That we have a place to congregate is a huge blessing. If you're a child and you were born into a family that's a Christian, you're probably not as appreciative as you should be. And it's because you don't know the other side. But I'm glad you don't know the other side. Because for those of us that had parents that were living in the world while we were growing up, there's so much dysfunction. There's so much sorrow. There's so much secrets. There's so much pain. Complexes as you grow older. I want to encourage you to thank the Lord. Even if your parents are getting on your nerves, say, thank you, Lord. My parents are together. That alone is amazing. You don't know. My parents love God more than they love me. That's a good thing. My parents love God more than they love anything else. That's a wonderful thing. You know why? Because God is the fountain of love. If I love Him more than I love anything else in this world, then I will love my wife, I'll love my child like I could never if I don't have God in my life. 2 Timothy, I just had it. Chapter 2, verse 4. Chapter 2, verse 4 says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. No man that entangleth himself. Amen. No man that warreth entangleth himself. You don't pick up another cause. You don't make yourself or your desire or your will or your private mission your priority. Brother Branham said that eternal life is living for one another. So I ask the entire community of message believers. And I ask myself, where is the love? Where is the care? Or do we have an attitude of, well, if he seed, you know, he'll come. Or real quick to put take somebody out from under the blood. That's a spirit of indifference that's dwelling in this age. That has a power in this age. It's like, I don't care, you know. You know, I got to do my thing. He has to do his. He got to figure it out just like me. I found that when I pray for others, my problems seem to dissipate, seem to just like, they don't seem that big of a problem. They're still there, but they don't seem that big. When I think about my brother and I think about his need, that brother doesn't have a job. Lord, give him a job. He's about to get evicted, Lord. And I'm here thinking about, I need a new car. I have a problem that I need a new truck. I take up his needs and God will take care of all that. Where's the love? Let's not entangle ourselves with the affairs of this world. We are not of this world. What I'm telling you, what the Lord is speaking to you in this broken up way, using this vessel of tripping over itself, what the Lord is saying, the Lord wants to tell you. Lord, speak to every heart, Lord. Lord, you know my heart, Lord. I love your people. Will you give me permission, Lord? I have this rule, when in doubt, leave it out. I'm not sure if I have a green light, but I'm just going to trust God. I'm just going to trust God that he'll place the words in your heart the way they're expressed in my heart and the way that the Lord has it in his. Perhaps it's not for everyone. I don't want anybody to stumble, but I know one thing, that we are at the last stage. We are at the very end. The end is near. God is coming. We need to start acting and behaving like we believe that. As a church, as individuals, as fathers, as wives, as people that believe. For 2,000 years, it's been said, he's coming soon. Can never be more true than now. He's coming. Oh, I've heard that for 40 years, brother. 60 years. So let's start getting ready. Or let's be ready. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. A lamb without blemish. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're all in need of you, Lord. Lord, I don't think there's one person here, Lord, that thinks they have enough of you to coast the rest of the way, Lord. To put the rest of this journey on autopilot. Lord, I don't think there's one person here that thinks that they got enough. I pray there isn't, Lord, because that would be the evidence they don't have. But Lord, let us be more humble every day. Let us do an inventory, a self-inventory every day, Lord. Checking our motives and if the love of Christ is really in us, if the desire to see souls won for the kingdom of heaven, help us, Lord. You told your servant after he won many souls for your kingdom, after many people were healed, after many great things you used them to do, Lord, you told them you need to be more sincere. Lord, perhaps you're saying the same thing today, Lord, to me, to the people. Giovanni, you have to be more sincere. Lord, you're asking us to dig in a little deeper. You're asking us to love more in this last age, in this last time of history, Lord, where your prophet said that even the scientists agree that we're in the last moments of time. Lord, there's a thing called the doomsday clock that the scientists have come up with. And it's never been closer to midnight than it is right now, September 2nd, 2018. 2 minutes to midnight. Not since 1953, Lord. So even the blind know the time is at hand. Something's fixing to happen, as the prophet said. We feel it in the air. Even the people in the street that don't know nothing about you, Lord, they know something's going on. And your people, Lord, having the full word of God, having the absolute at their disposal every day, Lord, having the map, the textbook, the blueprint, Lord, we seem to take it for granted, Lord. We behave at times as if we didn't believe that you are coming soon. Oh, Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus Christ to waken the spirit that you first placed in us, Lord, that tender, loving, humble spirit when we first came to your feet, Lord. Wake that up in us, Lord. It's there, Father. And just like Samson asked you, Lord, one more time, let me just die with these Philistines. Lord, we ask you, we'd rather die than take up our own cause, Lord. Give us one more chance, Lord. Give us another opportunity to be true ambassadors, to be true flag bearers, Lord. Amen. To not cower from the battle, Lord, but to go towards it, to inspire others. Oh, you said, when I see the blood, I will pass over thee, and you will raise a banner, a standard. Lord, and the nations will fear, but those that are your children, your word says, your banner over me is love. Lord, I'm believing that, Lord. Your banner to me is a smile over my life. But to the enemy, it is something they should fear and tremble. You're our God, the one true God. And you're in this place. Whether we feel it or not, Lord, whether we see it or not, you are here. Your word says that you would be here. Lord, I pray that your people, as they go home, they contemplate and they think on these things, Lord. We don't have to jump. We don't have to run around, Lord. We just have to believe. And all other things will come from that one thing, one gift you've given us, faith. Lord, your word says that without faith, it is impossible to please you, Lord. Father, I raise my hand to you. You're my general, Lord. Whatever your will is, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. As simple as can be believed, Lord, like what Brother Branham said to that woman, my shirt is white. Do you believe that? Yes, then believe. Believe that Jesus is here. Believe that you are healed. It's so simple. It's difficult for this finite mind and body to understand. But that's what faith is. It's not to be explained, but to be believed. Lord, thank you, Lord, for these things. Thank you for your spirit here, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for because you love us so much, Lord, that you would speak to us this morning these things. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray you bless every child, bless every home, Lord. Lord, may they do an inventory of the things that need to be taken out of the home in order for your spirit to move in a more powerful way, Lord. Thank you for the authority of the word that you've given us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for a pastor like Brother John, Lord, that he stands, Father, with you. Lord, it's like a pillar. It's like a post that you know it's going to be there. It's like a sign, Lord, exactly like a sign that you're trying to get somewhere. But if that sign isn't there, I'll get lost. And we need those ministers, those pastors, those Brother John to be at their post, to be that sign, so they can keep pointing us to the cross of Christ. So they can keep pointing us to the example of a true Christian. Bless him and bless his family, Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Yes, thank you. Thank you. I'd like to turn the rest of the service to the song leader, if that's okay. Thank you, brothers. I appreciate you. Pray for us. We just want to do the will of God and whatever He wants us to do. That's what we want. That's what we desire. And I believe that God has a bride here in this place right here. If I lived around here, this is the church I would go to. This would be my church. Stand by your pastor. Lift his arms up. Raise him up. You're not raising him up. Remember, it was the rod of God that Moses had. It's not the man. It's not Moses. It's not Samson. It's not David. It's the God that's in David. The God that's in Moses. Amen. The God that was in Samson. At the very end, he killed more Philistines in his death than when he was alive. God bless you. Appreciate you. Amen. You need this.
I mean, that was a very sobering message for me. You know? You can see how in each and every one of us, how we just need to, we need more of Him. Amen. Amen. Let's sing 703. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Amen. We can't do anything on our own. But when we feel that pull, we know that it's Him.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how